Okay, we're recording.
Are we on the stream?
Not yet.
Okay.
Okay, I'd like to welcome all of you out there in G15 land to Between the Sheets, because it's Friday night and this is what we do. yeah, so I'm Syntax.
And I'm the desperate one.
And sorry for starting about 6 minutes late. I just got off the phone screaming at my work. So it was awesome.
Of course. It always is awesome when you scream at your work.
Yeah.
Because yes. It puts you in just the best mood ever.
Oh, I know. But see, you like it because at that point I beat you that much harder.
Well, no, I don't like it now because those of you out there who don't know, Syntax is just stopping smoking. So he's got the crankiness of that on top of crankiness from work, and it means a very, very sore bottom for me.
It does. Oh, speaking of, I'm cheating right now and having a single cigarette, which is actually kind of gross, and I kind of want to put it out. So,
well, then do it.
We'll
give it back to me, and I'll double fist it.
No, I just need the ashtray because I might actually smoke this a little later.
I don't have an ashtray. I just have a McDonald's cup.
Oh, awesome. Because we're that classy here.
I'm a classy bitch.
Yeah, here at right, Between here. The Sheets. No, I got it.
You got it.
Yeah, because I have my own
McDonald's cup. We are white trash.
Okay. Well, and not only are we just... Yeah, am I in such an awesome, terrific mood? But we didn't do a whole lot of prep for the show today.
Like, so, a whole lot of prep means, yeah, we didn't do anything. because I was insanely busy at my work, and Syntax was insanely busy at his work, and we just got back to the house probably 30 minutes ago, and then 25 minutes ago, he got a call from his work, and yeah.
Okay.
Well, so I've been listening to Bangarang on loop.
Hell yeah. because we all like the dubstep.
Indeed.
Okay. Now, I think we had a story for this week, right?
Yes, we did. Let me get to it. This story, I found it and I read it simply because of the title. And the title is, Have Men Really Stopped Liking Blowjobs? If someone just asked me that question, my answer would be, yeah, no. But according to a gentleman in Esquire magazine, oh, I can't hear you right now.
Oh, because I muted myself. Yeah, because we all know that Esquire really knows what the fuck they're talking about.
Hey, you know what? They have cocks, so, you know, whatever. They can talk about cock, I suppose, if you own one. It's your right.
Yes.
So, anyway, this gentleman, Jeff Dyer, I think that's how I say his name, says that this was in a poll of heterosexuals. It's saying that fellatio's become, and I quote, the erotic equivalent of the leisure suit. Supposedly, he questioned about 10 of his male friends and found that 8 out of 10 of them preferred eating pussy to getting their dick sucked. And this article goes on to state, you know, and rather, you know, correctly that just because 8 out of 10 of those dudes surveyed would rather eat pussy than have their dick sucked doesn't mean that they are disinterested in getting their dick sucked or have turned down any dick suckage in favor of eating pussy.
I think what it is they just don't have the opportunity to get their dick sucked as much.
Well, if you have the opportunity to fucking lick a clit, then you have the opportunity to get your dick sucked, unless you have an extremely selfish partner.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck that.
I tried to suck your dick earlier, and you told me no.
I was at work.
That hurts my heart.
I was at work in the dino cell.
I don't care.
I know you don't.
I will suck your dick anywhere.
Yeah. And see, I was actually thinking about this for topic of the show, adventurous sex. But that could be a whole nother show.
I was thinking about bad sex.
Ooh. Yeah, that's another topic, how to correct.
Well, we would need a lot more input on that one, because I've had some bad sex in my life, and I know you've probably had some bad sex in your life. We probably had bad sex with each other at some point, but, you know, I always love sex gone wrong stories.
Yes, yeah, sex gone wrong. And at the moment, they're not so funny, but... Yeah, later, they're hilarious.
Yeah, I can tell the story about the time that I fake cried and ran away and said I was really upset because I was cheating on my non-existent boyfriend just to get out of this sexual encounter that was really not pleasant.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a good time.
That sounds like good time.
Oh, but I learned I can fucking cry on cue, dude. It was amazing. I mean, that realization was amazing, not the sexual encounter. It was actually pretty terrible. But anyway, so according to this gentleman from Esquire, men of a more mature age, and I'm guessing probably mid-30s and up, I don't know, but that's what I'd guess. Would rather eat pussy. Now, Syntax, would you rather eat pussy or have your dick sucked?
I think it really depends there on the situation. I mean, sometimes it is nice to just go down there and, you know, munch me some muff. But, yeah, I'm kind of selfish, and I do like, you know, the dick sock action. You know, it's good, especially when you can grab a whole handful of hair and, well, make them cry.
That's more face fucking than dick sucking.
There's a difference?
Yeah, there is, dear. I know that you really don't see a difference because, you know, when I go down on you, it generally ends in the face fucking after about, say, 20 seconds. It's like, yeah, and I'm going to fuck your throat now, which is fine because I actually kind of enjoy that. But, you know, when you're with a new partner, dear, that might be something to curb until you find out how she feels about that.
if she doesn't like it, then I guess you really can't tell because you don't know if the tears streaming down the face and the drool just flowing from the mouth, you don't know if that's if those are happy tears or not.
Well, I can tell you for one right now, the drool is kind of involuntary, and the tears can be as well.
I know.
It kind of depends on the size of the cock, I think. You know, if I have, say, like a 5.5-incher, I don't think I'd cry. Unless he has some pretty good girth behind it. I fucked this one guy who was like a fucking tree stump. He wasn't that big around, or wasn't that big, like, lengthwise, but dear God, I felt like I was, you know, going down on half a maglite. It was awesome. Anyway, So this particular article posits that that the pussy eating rise in popularity is due to male performance anxiety, possibly men feeling weak about their performance or kind of insecure about their bodies and their penis size, and I don't know if that's necessarily a thing. It's possible. Well,
maybe the people that read Esquire are, well, and it's probably the same with the women that read these, you know, beauty fashion magazines, and they're like, oh, I feel so horrible about myself because look at this girl, she's like 2 pounds.
And to quote Baz Luhrmann, do not read beauty magazines, they will only make you feel ugly.
Exactly.
Even though he stole that from like some Dear Abby column in like 1956.
Oh yeah, and you know, kind of a throwback to some of the old school Sean Kay rants. Nobody really wants a 911 girl.
You can't say that because somebody wants a 911 girl.
Well, yeah, and I've had my fair share of 911 girls, and me being the same
911
body,
boy.
yeah, being the same body type, because I have jagged hips. You know, they kind of protrude, they stick out. And on a really, really thin girl, you can jab your hips together and they get bruised and they hurt. Which
is why you fuck her from behind. Duh.
No, it's when you're fucking her from behind.
Do they have no ass cheeks?
Most.
I could see missionary and I could see her being on top having some hip issues. But when your hips are generally, you know, grinding towards her ass, she's got to have something. At least, I mean, even small girls have a tiny little fat deposit on their butt. Even you have a tiny little fat deposit on your butt.
Well, yeah, but you know when I sit on your lap and it feels like my hips are going to just, you know, grind your femur into pulp. It's that same bone that just kind of jams into my hips there.
Well, I'm glad I'm a fat girl then.
You're not a fat girl. Oh.
Well, I'm glad I have more than a 911 girl butt.
Exactly. And it's good.
I haven't seen a rise in my sexual experience over the last, say, 5 or 10 years. I haven't seen any sort of rise in any maturity level of the men that I sleep with correlating with a desire to eat pussy. I had my pussy eaten like fucking gangbusters when I was 15. You know?
Oh.
So I haven't personally found this to be true, although my sexual experience is very limited, in comparison to the world's sexual experience.
That's true. But then again, this guy is basing his study, I'm using air quotes here, because he interviewed 10 people. I don't think that's a study.
But I can tell you at least 2 people who I think would agree with that. I have a friend here in town. He's a death metal guitarist. He's a fucking awesome dude. He hates getting blowjobs because in his mind, it's all about the pleasure of the female. And he hates getting blowjobs because he feels selfish. That's his thing. You know, I remember him telling me that and being like, are you fucking retarded? and denying the female the pleasure of going down is a selfish act in itself. I enjoy giving blowjobs. And I know there are shit tons of women out there in the world who enjoy giving blowjobs. So, you know, don't deny us because you think it's all about our pleasure. Think about our pleasure in pleasuring you as well, you know. And a gentleman kind of down south that I've been chatting with here recently, to him, it's all about female pleasure. I can't say that he deny a blowjob, but that's his central, that's what he gets off on, is his partner's pleasure. So, I mean, there are people out there who would, in fact, deny a blowjob. I don't think this guy interviewed any fucking frat boys, but...
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think I would ever deny a blowjob, but, you know, I do think that there should be mutual pleasure. I mean, I think, yeah, now there are the times when it's like, okay, I'm going to get off and I don't give a fuck what you're doing. I don't care if you get off. I don't care if you're having fun. I get in those moods. Tonight might be one of those. Just an FYI. Love you. But then there are most nights
where... You can't see the look I'm giving you right now. I was like, really, dude?
Yeah. but, you know, there are most nights when I want I want to be a considerate lover. I want to make sure that you are having as much fun as I am.
I mean, most of the times that you and I fuck, you ask me, I mean, if it's not already completely obvious, if you're getting close to your time, you'll ask me, you're like, are you close? And if I'm not, you know, you'll simmer down a bit and then keep going. And if I am, you make sure that I come before you do, you know.
Yeah. So, 'cause and, you know, there,
And that is, and if there are any men out there who are listening, if we have anybody listening who ever gives a shit about this, don't be that guy. Don't be that guy that's like, I'm going to pound your pussy, and then have her fake it or something. You know, actually take the time, because I guarantee you, if you're in a casual sexual relationship, if you're just casually dating people, that bitch is more likely to come back if you make her come.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
If you don't make her come, then you're probably not going to see that bitch again, you know? So if you don't care and it's a one-nighter, then fine, whatever. But, yeah, if you're trying to get with someone and you want to keep them around, make sure the bitch comes. You should know this by now. If you don't, slap yourself. Seriously, because you're retard.
Yes. Okay. Well, right. So... moving on, today's topic is protocol. Well, basic protocol and the importance of a contract. We're moving on past the casual play and getting on to where more of a relationship. Now,
Are we going just over protocol? Just over protocol, not the contract?
No, I'm going to go over the contract, because the contract has protocol in it. Our protocol, mine and the Desperate Ones, has, you know, it's all laid out in our contract. Now,
this is a hard copy. We both have a hard copy. We have a digital, okay, this is a hard copy signed by both of us, dated, not notarized though, cuz that could result in some weird looks.
Yeah, but we live in a state that what we do, the not just the DS, but the SM part, the sadism and masochism, is illegal, because in the great state of New Mexico, you cannot consent to have someone inflict pain or
assault
do harm.
You.
Yeah. So there have been several cases here that people where it's consensual. Now, I just had a very interesting conversation with an assistant district attorney for the area who does DV cases. Staunch Mormon, by the way. Who he had said, he was like, well, If a case like this with a SM couple came across my desk, he's like, I wouldn't pursue that case because it's consensual. It's like, I might not agree with it. I might, you know, think they're crazy and might giggle about them mercilessly at the bar. But I'm not going to try and put this couple in jail for doing something that they enjoy doing and something that's consensual. But there has been other ADAs in this state who have attempted to put people in jail for doing this. So we have a contract. And the contract basically says that, well, okay, here we go. And I'm just going to read the intro.
Yeah, because this is very, very, very long, and we're not going to just read something to you guys.
Yeah. There's like 10 pages. So the intro says, this contract is provided as a secure agreement which defines in specific terms the relationship and interaction between two individuals, the desperate one, hereafter termed the submissive, and syntax, hereafter termed the dominant. That's not actually what's on the contract. It's our actual real legal given names. This agreement cannot be broken except under the conditions stated herein, after which certain precautions shall be taken to protect those involved. This agreement will remain valid for 6 weeks from the date signed, unless terminated by either party. Now, we've actually gone on to a more permanent contract. This here is one of the earlier contracts we had when we were first starting out with the whole 24/7 contract DS thing. Okay. And it goes on, and it has the submissive's role. And this is the protocol part. Now, protocol, I know a lot of – if you start delving into the whole DS thing, you find people talking about protocol. And protocol is completely different for everybody, and it's really confusing sometimes. You have high protocol. You have pet play protocol. You have age play protocol. There's so many different protocols. Basically,
But a lot of it is still at its core very basic and very plain. There's some, you know, terms that are different, some rules that are a little different within different things, and you know, somebody might want something a little more specific, but we have a general sort of set of protocol and set contract. It's defined, but it's still open. So if there are changes in our relationship and whatnot, the protocol can be revised.
Exactly. And you should always be willing to go, okay, let's change this. But just think about protocol as someone's house rules. You know, if you go to a friend's house and they just redid their carpet or their floors and they go, hey, will you take off your shoes here in my house? Most people are going to be like, okay. You're not going to be like, oh, fuck you. Well, just think of it as their house, as the house rules. Now, it gets kind of complicated when one dominant brings his submissive over to another dominant's house. You know, whose rules do you follow? The way I do it is generally my submissive and myself, for that matter, are going to follow the rules of the house we are a guest in, unless it conflicts with our rules. If there's something that's a big no-no in our rules, and in their rules, it's a must. And generally, I'll talk to the other dominant, and they'll be like, "Oh yeah, no problem," because people aren't usually that staunch with their protocol. There are some protocol Nazis out there, but for the most part, people work with each other on this. Now, there's, you know, and it goes over some very important things like the submissive's veto. Okay, this is something that needs to be in any contract or any just, you know, play rules, basically, is that the submissive can go, whoa, no, I'm not going to let you shit on my chest. Because if that's, you know, if that could go against a hard limit, you know, ours are there's four little points. It's, you know,
I can veto if anything he asks me to do is against the law and could lead to fines, arrest, etc. Say we're out at the bar and he's like, no, you're going to drop down your knees and suck that guy's cock right now. I can look at him and be like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that, because that would get the cops called on me.
Yeah. You know? There's another one that's, you know, that anything that may cause extreme damage to the submissive's physical being, such as, permanent bodily harm, any scar, you know, scarring, loss of a limb, loss of life. These are bad things. There's also a thing in there that says anything that could cause just an overall damage to her normal life, such as losing a job or causing family members stress. There's stuff like that.
He can't order me to go into work wearing a Heather Locklear and Melrose Place short skirt and, you know, stripper heels and, you know, potentially cause me to lose that job. He cannot ask me to do something sit on the floor like I do here, sit on the floor at his feet when I'm at a restaurant, at my parents' house. You know, he can't, because that's going to cause problems there. It's extreme stress. It really is any kind of real definable stress to my life. I can look at him and say, I'm not doing that. And I am fully, you know, within
her power.
my power to say no at that point.
Yeah. The only other thing that we have in there is anything that's going to cause psychological trauma. This is a really hard one to define and can be abused.
And he looks at me because he's asked me to do things I didn't want to do. And I've looked at him and I've said, psychological trauma, psychological trauma. And he knows I'm bullshitting and I know I'm bullshitting, but.
And yeah. She gets spankings.
Indeed.
Yeah. But you know, these are things that need to be in there. Okay. There's things in here that basically put my role out there. There's things in here that put out her role. In fact, most of the contract is her role. My role is I'm
like
in charge.
Paragraph and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically.
You will protect me. You will keep
yes.
me from harm. You know, yeah. You are basically in complete care of me and don't fuck it up.
Yeah, basically, that's it. We also have a thing in here called free talk. This is another thing that has a huge potential for abuse. Doesn't
it? Because I've done that a few times. I've called free talk and like 2 hours later, I'm like, yeah, free talk's not done. Fuck you.
Okay. Free talk is supposed to be used. Like if in the middle of a scene, your play partner calls a yellow or calls a red, you know, they safe word. It's generally a free talk time. It's time to go, okay, what's going on? What's wrong? How can I help? Are you okay? And nothing that can, or that's said between either partner can, you know, basically they can get mad at. Now, you're not supposed to be able to get mad at. She could look at me and go, I fucking hate you right now. Why would you do something like this? And generally, she's supposed to listen to why I did this or
yeah,
did that.
Yeah, but generally, I'm like, I hope someone anally rapes your mother.
Yeah.
Because I'm angry.
Yeah. So, you know, after she cools down, you know, we'll have free talk time and, you know, I'll explain what I was doing. You know, sometimes I'm pushing a limit or just trying to push her a little farther than what she's used to. And, you know, I pushed her too far. It happens. So that's what free talk time is all about. Now we come to one of my favorite ones is
you just love that sentence.
What sentence?
Right under punishment.
Yes, punishment. Okay, this is the one line under punishment. Okay, the submissive agrees to accept any punishment the dominant decides to inflict, whether earned or not. That's a very powerful line, and this has huge abuse potential on the dominant side. See, this is why there must be large amounts of trust in a DS relationship. People think that the stereotype is, oh, it's the overbearing, over-controlling, psycho man who is just trying to find some meek young thing to use as a doormat. Well, no, that's not the case.
It does happen.
It does. But in a good, true DS relationship, there's so much trust and so much love and affection that a line like this can be put in and I'm not going to abuse it. And she knows I'm not, don't you?
Indeed, dear, I do.
Yeah. There have been times where I'm like, I've had a bad day. I'm just going to beat you. And you're going to be my whipping post and you're going to like it.
And generally, I do.
Yes. Yes. Whether or not the tears come, you know, flowing or not, you still like it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, there are rules for punishment, okay? There's, you know, the following things in here. We have, we call them abuse. Burning the body unless otherwise agreed to by the submissive. Now, we've done things where I'll have a lighter and I'll light it and I'll run it very quickly across her back. It's a very neat sensation. You must be very careful because the end of the lighter can get very, very hot and you can actually do damage that way. But this is basically, I'm not going to douse her in gasoline and reenact the burning monk. Okay, that's bad. Drastic loss of circulation. We do a lot of rope play. And with rope, you can very, very quickly do damage because you tied something too tight. They lose circulation. Their hands fly away, their feet, a leg, whatever. They lose circulation, and you can actually cause damage with that. And that's bad. Causing internal bleeding.
Yeah, there's a no-no zone on my body. Particularly, you know, you don't hit the gut unless it's very light and it's very precise. Like, you could hit my tummy with, say, the dragon's tail or dragon's tongue or whatever the heck it's called, that thing that we have, and it would be okay. You're not paddling my stomach, okay?
Yes.
That's not happening. Also, where my kidneys are, that's a big no-fly zone. You know, because not only is that extremely unhappy, I don't want to hurt my organs. My organs are good to me. They're sweet, and they keep me alive. So I don't want to fuck with them.
Yeah. We also have loss of consciousness. We have gone into this a little bit. We did some breath play stuff, which is very, very dangerous. And know what you're doing before you start doing stuff like that.
He has, in fact, choked me out.
Because, you know, sometimes you just got to choke a bitch out.
He has, in fact, choked me out before. It was not an intended thing. And when I came to, roughly, like, what was it, like 5 seconds later?
Yeah.
It really wasn't a particularly long time. I lost consciousness. I didn't have any fucking clue who I was or who he was. And I was like, what the hell's going on? And we had to stop.
Yeah.
You know. Because that's not happy. That's, you know, my brain, also very important organ. We want to keep it intact. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's someone telling you you've been a bad girl, so I'm going to choke you till you pass out. Not cool.
No, that's not cool. And then the last thing on what constitutes abuse is withholding any necessary materials, such as food, water, sunlight, etc., for an extended period of time.
You cannot Eevee me. You are not V. I am not Eevee.
Yeah. I can't lock you up in a cell and waterboard you.
Shave my head, waterboard me, feed me chicken bones, and slip me toilet paper scrolls.
Yeah. Sunlight is a very necessary thing. Talk to people in Alaska. They freak out and get all depressed and have to take, like, vitamin D and then stand in front of, like, tanning lamps and shit.
Vitamin D so they don't get rickets.
Well, yeah, because they're old.
It doesn't matter if you're old. It's like vitamin C will cause, you know, deficiency will cause scurvy. If you don't have vitamin D, you'll get fucking rickets. And we're not talking about rickets like, you know, park.
That's a very localized joke. I don't think people will understand that.
No. But that's okay. Yeah, also, it basically says in here that permanent bodily harm, which is a no-no, first one is death.
Yeah.
That's bad. Don't make me die. Anything that will limit my lack of mobility, including breaking my bones, any permanent marks on the skin, unless I've agreed to it, say that I've agreed to accept a brand.
A tattoo, something like that.
You know, say we're experimenting with cutting, which could possibly lead to scars. You know, obviously I would be, you know, have to consent to that. Any loss of hair, which means you can't pull clumps of my hair out, like dragging me across the floor like a freaking caveman.
Yeah. Now, there's also a line in this, in the paragraph before this. Says, since the body of the submissive now belongs to the dominant, it's the dominant's responsibility to protect that body from permanent bodily harm. It is mine. I've I know I've said this before. I don't want to break my toy because a broken toy is no fun. You can't play with it for a while. Luckily, bodies heal for the most part. So, yeah, I can break her a little bit, but then I can't play with her for a few days, and I get kind of sad because I'm like, oh, broken. So try not to break your toys. Learn where the limit is. And you can skirt that limit even. You know, sometimes you can go past it where she can't sit down the next day, or it's painful to sit down the next day. But make sure that you've cleared it first. Mm-hmm. And we keep saying that we're going to go over negotiation, and we're going to. In fact, next week's show we'll be on negotiations. It's going to be fun. Unless we get a special guest or something.
I was hoping to get Morps.
I know. We need to get Morps. Yeah.
Can you have it?
Okay. Well, and at this point in the show, if anyone has any questions or comments or they want to call in, we are on Skype. It's Get Between the Sheets. Is the handle for us. Add us, shoot us a call, shoot us a message even. Feel free to shoot us a message. Or join the conversation here.
Okay. I'm trying to get back to where I was on Skype, and all I can see is two pictures. And I can't get to where like people can send me a message is
Oh, wait. Okay.
Wait, is that it? I don't know. I think I fucked it up. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, go on to the next topic, and I will fix this for you. So.
Okay, you're the best ever. Oh wait, no, I fixed it.
Okay. This makes for great radio. Yes, you are.
I'm an idiot. I can say I'm a girl, and I just don't know how to use computers.
That's so bullshit. Okay.
I don't really. That's just sad. Okay. So, also within the contract, Syntax and I have kind of locked shit down, aside from Luna being a part of our relationship. We've locked shit down. We don't play with other people, unless, like, the other's there. We don't really have any outside sexual partners, etc. So this is the part of the contract that specifies others. It says that I cannot seek out any other dominant or lover or relate to any others in sexual or submissive way without Syntax's permission. To do so would be considered a breach of a contract and result in extreme punishment. This does not mean that the rules that we just described before, like, are out the window. He still can't break my arm, you know.
Yeah,
and things
I still
like
can't
that.
Cut her tit off.
And he has the same rule. He can't seek out another dominant another submissive or sexual partner without my permission.
Exactly.
Because we're still adults in a relationship, and he's not allowed to go fuck whoever the hell he wants to fuck, and I get to sit there and be like, yeah, I guess that's cool. I don't know. I guess that's okay. You know, that's because if you guys end up getting to know me, you'll know that I'm the first woman to look at you and be like, yeah, what the fuck? Excuse me? No. Which makes being submissive somewhat hard sometimes, but.
It is. It's a chiz. It's a.
I can't hear you now. I can't hear you.
What the fuck?
There you go.
Wow, that's very odd. Okay. Shit, I don't even remember what I said. Oh, yeah. It makes you, dominating you, actually extremely hard because a lot of times you look at me and go, really, bitch? You think you're going to make me do this? And then I do.
But then you just look at me and you go, baby girl.
Baby girl.
And you give me that face, and then I'll pretty much do anything because I hate that face. Oh, don't give me that face. Oh, kill.
I love to be able to stick my head in the next room where the desperate one is sitting, because we have to be in different rooms here, and I can just give her that look, and you will hear the exact same thing every time.
I'm so knowing you right now.
I know.
Like, I freaking can't. Ah, killed.
Okay. The next point in the contract is actually a very, very important one, especially for people that are in society, I would guess, that might have very vanilla jobs, something where there's a morality contract. I know teachers have this.
Or like, say, our friend who works for the government.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Or a teacher. Someone like that. Okay, this is the secrecy clause. Okay, all physical evidence of the DS relationship will be kept in total secrecy, except where both dominant and submissive agree. Any violation of this clause shall be cause to terminate this contract. Okay, should the injured party wish it. The materials and physical evidence shall be kept in a place acceptable to both parties. Now, the desperate one has a collar that she wears all the time. And what she wears in public is, it's actually really neat, because it's a steel, it's a steel strand rope, basically. It looks like rope. It's made out of a bunch of steel strands. It's a steel cable that has two little, it's a machined fitting, so it fits real nice into each other, with a hole drilled through it with a very pretty chrome lock that's in the shape of a heart. It looks like kind of an industrial, kind of punk rock necklace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I still can't take it off.
Exactly. Well, you can. I've watched you pry that lock open.
Well, you shut the fuck up.
Yeah. It wasn't me that fucked up. You just got very angry.
I do that.
Yeah. So, you know, I have the key to that lock. So when we play, we have a play collar. In fact, she has a couple of them. She has a posture collar because she likes to slouch. It's very wide, and it keeps her head and neck in the correct position for when, you know, for proper posture. That's why they call it a posture collar. Then she has just a standard leather collar with some attachment points, all very, very DS, very BDSM. And yes. It's one of those things that she can't wear that to work.
Wear that to visit you at your work. You know, I can't wear that in public.
Exactly, because people would look at you like, why are you wearing a leather sex toy? And, you know, it could damage reputations. And unfortunately, this is not acceptable in modern lifestyle, which is kind of stupid. I'm open and out to just about everyone. I'm in a very lucky position where I work for myself. So I can't get fired if someone goes, oh my God, you like to beat women with a paddle and she likes it. It doesn't matter. Okay.
I unfortunately work for an extremely conservative Christian company. And if someone were to possibly get wind of, you know, any of my sexual dalliances, it could possibly be grounds to dismiss me, because they are, like I said, very conservative. I wore a top to work one day that showed the tops of my breasts, and the owner's wife came to me and said, well, the men might be enjoying the show, but you really need to cover up. So I have to basically wear, like, fucking turtlenecks to work every day. You know, I mean, that kind of conservative. I can't afford to be outed at my work. I really can't.
Yeah. You know, then there's the signature spot here on our contract where the submissive signs first and dates, blah, blah, blah. I sign in day, blah, blah, blah. And then we go into my protocol for my house. Now, this is not only what I expect both Luna and the Desperate One to follow, but most guests in my house will follow these rules. I know there's I'm not going to use her name because she actually changed her name to it. You went and saw them this weekend. We've had a very long conversation with me and a good friend from out of town where she's Polly. She has a couple of submissives and her husband. Her and her husband are both dominant, which is – it's a very interesting household sometimes. yeah, it's awesome. I love them to death.
And, fantastic people, really. Yes,
and we take lemons to everything because
I did. We took lemon cake to the party.
That's
me and
awesome.
One of her subs, because I stole her sub to come with me to the party, and we took lemon cake.
Yeah, nothing is scarier than having two subs go to a party together because they will be bad. you know this.
No but, comment.
Yeah, I bet no comment. But we've had this discussion, and when I go to her house with a submissive, I'm going to follow her house rules, at least most of them.
And I follow her house rules.
Exactly. We have the same rule of a submissive is not going to sit on the furniture unless asked. Their place is on the floor. In her house, I know she used to have this rule. I don't know if she does anymore. But anyone under her care, anyone who's mentoring under her, any of her submissives, as soon as they come into her house, there's a list of chores next to the door. They're to pick one and do it before they do anything else. Well, besides greet everyone. Yeah, there's a lot of general protocol stuff that's kind of boring. There's this submissive will always address her dominant as sir or ma'am. We've kind of modified that where the desperate one can call me.
I can either call him sir or daddy.
Yes. Oh, this one is my favorite protocol rule that the desperate one absolutely hates. It is the submissive will carry herself with grace in whatever she does.
Because it bothers me because I'm not graceful. I am a body raucous fucking broad. Grace is something that evades me. So I do my best with it, but I fail so often that it frustrates me.
and there have been some epic, graceful fails.
Yes, indeed. I'm not... See, the person that I think of when I think of Grace, and it's kind of hilarious that her name is Grace, but it's Grace Kelly. That's who I think of. And I'm like, yeah, I can't be that bitch. That's a classy bitch. I'm not a classy bitch. You know, I can't be like that. So I think, yeah, it's difficult. There are some women out there who just have very natural grace, and I am so jealous of them for having that because I just don't.
Yeah, it's like
I don't.
Luna. Luna is she has some grace when she thinks about it.
Yeah, even when I think about it, I manage to fall down.
But, you know, if all of these rules were easy, it wouldn't be fun, would it?
No, because then it would just be, like, living. And then it would require no effort and no actual, like, awesomeness. So, my favorite part of protocol is no sweatpants.
Yes, we also have a absolutely...
No, there will be no sweatpants. There are no velour track pants fucking around here. I have had that standing rule since I was like 10 goddamn years old. And it's like, you do not wear this shit outside the house. You might wear it to sleep in, but don't fucking wear that shit to Walmart. No. That shit don't fly. And
exactly.
I haven't owned a pair of sweatpants ever. My mom, I think, bought me a pair in winter one year, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not wearing that shit. no, that's not happening. The bitches out there, do not ever buy sweatpants. If you have sweatpants, if you have the velour tracksuit pants that say juicy on your ass, throw them away. They're tacky. You're tacky. Stop being tacky. Take it from a non-graceful bitch. You look tacky. Take them off. Throw them away. Please, for the love of God.
The only time sweatpants are even remotely acceptable.
When you have the flu.
Yeah, is when you're dying of, like, the bird flu.
Even then, just don't wear pants, okay? Just don't.
Yeah.
I would rather have no pants than sweatpants. But maybe that's just me.
Yes.
All right, sorry. I ranted about sweatpants.
It's okay.
Can we just, like, this very brief... whenever I enter the home, whenever I visit Syntax, or whenever I get home, basically, my shoes come off. I sit on the floor. And sometimes I get home before Syntax. I try to feed him when he gets home. During certain parts of the season, he comes home very late. During sometimes, he comes home early. It's just kind of dependent, but I try to feed him. I see if he needs anything, and then I basically take my place at his feet. That's what I do all the time, every time. That's not a once in a while, that's an every goddamn time. If I ask to be on the couch, I haven't asked to be on the couch in, God, forever.
I know, and I think you're actually starting to like the floor.
He does give me a pillow.
I do.
He has hardwood floors, and that can be brutal on the buttocks after an hour or so. So he does give me a pillow to sit on. I actually am preferring the floor quite a bit. Yeah.
Another really fun rule is at mealtime, and this is something that we can do at restaurants. We can do without outing ourselves. And this is an old school rule, like back from a long time ago, back from like the 30s or longer, is when the meal comes, you know, and this went all the way back to like the ages of kings and princes. Nobody ate not a single bite before the king or whoever was in charge, the head of the household, started to eat first. We have this basically same rule. She can't touch her food until I start to eat. There have been times where we've been at dinner and I've ran into someone that I know because I know everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll start talking and I can talk for 10 minutes. My food is sitting there untouched and she is looking both at my food, at her food, then up at me like I'm really... really, really want to eat this. And I've seen her like sneak a little bite.
Yes, I have.
And then she gets it.
Yes.
And all I have to do lots of times is just shoot her a real quick look.
Mm-hmm. Anybody out there who's ever been, if anybody's hearing it and has possibly been submissive, and your dominant looks at you and he kind of gives you that stern look, and it's like, oh shit. Okay, I'm sorry. And you feel really bad and you feel really guilty and it's like, I made him sad.
Yeah.
It's like that. You know, and I try not to. Unless I'm like starving and then I'm like, okay, how many spankings am I going to get for this? Is it going to be worth it? Because I know it's going to suck because whenever you... Syntax stole out physical punishment, it's gonna suck because he knows I'm a masochist, but I'm not an extreme masochist, so he's gonna make it hurt and it's gonna make me sad.
Yeah. And it's funny, I've noticed that good spanking, there's a difference between good spankings and bad spankings. I can give her spankings that are very happy, very sexy, very good hurt. There's also punishment spankings. And I can give her those punishment spankings, and they're not happy, and they're not sexy. They are punishment.
And when they're added, when it's, you know, big girl, you're being punished. It makes it suck. Even yeah. with, you know, under normal circumstances, they would be very, very happy spankings. But that makes it suck, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Now, we're actually on to what I consider the most important part of all the protocol. Okay? There's almost four pages of protocol for the submissive. Okay, now we get into the protocol for me as the dominant. Okay? And the first line in this is probably the most important. Okay? The dominant will always keep the best interests of the submissives in mind. It is his responsibility to care for the submissive, not only physically, but mentally. Okay? Because they are my responsibility. At this point, once we've got to this point, we got the contract, we got all that, it's my responsibility to make sure that the Desperate One and Luna are taken care of, that I will keep their best interests in mind. There are several times where I've asked Desperate One to do something, and she looks at me like, the fuck would I do that? And I'm like, no, this is what you're doing. And she thinks that it is the most outrageous, most stupid, most horrible thing that could be done ever. And it takes some coercing, and it takes some, and she finally does it. And afterwards, she's like, oh my God, that was really awesome. That was amazing. And I'm like, see, I am keeping your best interests in mind and in my heart, because I don't want to break you. I don't want to break you mentally. I don't want to break you physically. Okay, because a broken toy is no fun to play with.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Okay. And then there's, you know, there's a thing on honesty, which is always good. That goes along with trust. You have to be honest. You know, the dominant will always approach other dominants if there's a problem with their submissive. If I have a problem with my friend's submissive, he's being a brat or she's being a brat, she's being disrespectful, something like that, I'm not going to go up to that submissive and be like, bend over my knee, drop the pants, I'm going to beat your ass. No, no, no. That doesn't work. Lots of times I can go up to the other dominant and go, okay, this is the situation. This is what's going on. This is what I'm seeing. And a lot of times they will then call their submissive over. Especially if they have seen this or it's a past thing that's happened with the submissive, and then they will let, you know, I've had to be the bearer of punishment to someone else's submissive because they don't know.
They
fucked up. But it's not my choice. It's always that the other dominance, the owners, prerogative if they want to or not. So just don't assume because you're dominant, you can dominate everybody. I see that lot. No. It really makes me angry, and it makes me want to be like, you're just a dick. You're not a dominant. You're not a master. You're not a sir. You're a dick. Go away.
Yes. Okay. And then, dominant has a right to ask his submissive to complete any task that does not put the submissive's health and outside relationships in danger and can punish his submissive in any way he sees fit for failure to complete the task. I get this a lot.
Have two tasks, three tasks actually that are incomplete.
Incomplete is the word, baby. Incomplete, isn't it?
Incomplete.
Thank you. One of my tasks is to correct his grammar.
Yeah, that
it's
is.
It's a self-imposed task.
Yeah.
Just because I'm a grammar Nazi. And use words. Real words.
Yeah, there's also the keep your car clean. Which you haven't even washed the outside, which I asked you to do. And you said you would.
So, anyway, moving on. I think I'm tying the record of Red Bull cans in my passenger seat.
I know.
My record is 37 Red Bull cans. I think I'm tying that again. So I drink a lot of Red Bull. And the last is the dominant will always carry himself in such a way as to bring respect and honor to his house. which basically, it's pretty basic. Just don't be an asshole.
Exactly. You know, you want to be known as the dominant of an honorable house. There's a lot of honor and a lot of chivalry in the 24/7 BDSM community. You know, it's kind of stupid to think of it that way, but there is. There's, you know, I've seen many a dominant who I'm like, God, really? This guy? He's an asshole and jerk. I don't even want to be near him. And then there's others that are like, you know, wow, you know, this guy has four subs. They're all very much in line. They're all very honorable. He's very honorable. That's really what you're striving for. You know, you want to hold yourself to a higher level.
Standard. Yeah,
exactly.
I think we've completely run out of time.
We have. We actually just hit an hour. We were going to do a playback. What were we going to do for the playback?
Bondage tape.
Oh, bondage tape.
Bondage tape by Some of the End.
Yeah, bondage tape. It's awesome. By Some. We'll probably do something on that.
Yeah, we'll probably talk about it next week if we don't go long-winded like we did this time.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, that's it for us this week. You know, we keep running out of time, but...
Please listen to the other fabulous Galaxy 15 programs. We have Pure Decking on Thursdays. What time is it?
It is
9:30 Central, I think.
Yeah, 9:30 Central, 7:30 Pacific.
Yeah, 10:30 Eastern, 8:30 Mountain. And I have nothing every Saturday, which I think they're
screw
on
it. We're
right now.
We are doing everything in Mountain Time because Mountain Time doesn't get any
Play, man.
Doesn't get any play,
it's
yeah.
It's clock blocked by all those other fucking dumbass time zones. Fuck you, other time zones.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to do it either in Mountain Time or in Zulu Time. So.
Yeah. Anyway, I have nothings on Saturdays. I'm not sure when they're going to start back up. Is it next week?
I don't know. They're on hiatus. Something about are you... On a walkabout and in the spirit world,
being a fucking twat.
Yeah, he's out there. What he's probably doing is he just took a vacation to New Zealand, where he really wishes he was from.
Or he took a vacation to the States and didn't tell us because he doesn't like us.
Oh yeah, I'd have to whoop his ass.
He just wanted to eat at every Outback on the fucking Eastern Seaboard.
Yeah, that's it. He wants to be the only
Australian. Oh, my God. I saw this this commercial for Australia on TV. It was like, there's nothing like Australia. And I couldn't stop giggling. And I'm like, are you?
Are you hates Australia? He's like, fucking birds.
There's nothing like Australia. Yeah, it's so totally gay. If you haven't seen it yet, are you? You should watch it because it's like, it's really stupid and funny. So anyway, yeah. And what about BSV show?
Yeah, there's the Nameless Review 7 show, which will come back when, I don't know.
When BSV decides to. When the zombie apocalypse starts rearing its ugly head, possibly.
Well, yeah, it's after he gets done engineering the zombie apocalypse.
When they decide to make Twilight 7, will he come back with rage?
With utter rage. Yeah, they're also cleaning up the music and adding more music onto the stream. So listen to the stream all the time, 24/7, or else.
If you have new common or Creative Commons music that you like to suggest, please do.
Yes. If you have any feedback for us, leave it in the feedback section of the Galaxy 15 Radio website, or you can. I've been leaving the. Between the Sheets Skype open, so you can also just shoot me a message on Get Between the Sheets on Skype. Please do. Even if you have a question, you know, a topic you'd like us to cover, something like that, please shoot us a message. We love feedback. We want to know that people are listening. I see that we have held 3 listeners all night.
Woohoo! I bet I know every single one of you. Hi, boys.
Yeah, we probably do.
But you're listening, so yay. Yeah. So make an anonymous fucking Skype account. Text us about, you know, the sores and boils you have on your your fucking prick, and, you know, let us know what's going on so we can talk about it. Because I'm sure, you know, we're running out of shit, man. We need your help to help us.
Yeah. All right. So that's basically it for us. And I've decided to... Basically, the way I've been doing our intro and outro music is it's whatever's queued up next on the stream will be our intro or our outro music. So have fun, everyone out there in G15 land. And we will see you tomorrow.
Good night. Good
night. Okay, we're clear.
Okay, because I got to pee so bad.